now. Giuliani, Ukraine flat, McGahn's refusal. I'm Barton Eckert. President Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, reversed course late Friday night, telling Fox News he will no longer travel to Ukraine to push for that country to investigate Democratic presidential contender Joe Biden.
I've decided, Sharon, I'm not going to go to the Ukraine.
You're not going to go.
I'm not going to go because I think I'm walking into a group of people that are enemies of the president.
President Trump's former lawyer, Don McGahn, according to the New York Times, was asked by the White House to declare Trump never obstructed justice, but he did not comply. House Intelligence Committee member Congressman Raja Krishnamurti weighs in.
The president right now is thumbing his nose at the American people in not answering any of these subpoenas or having people testify on Capitol Hill, and we cannot have that. The other question that comes up is, what are they trying to hide? What is behind this refusal to comply with basic requests for information?
Following troubling warnings from Iran, the U.S. not only has the USS Abraham Lincoln carrier strike group in the Red Sea, but is moving a Patriot missile battery and the USS Arlington into the Middle East. More from Pentagon correspondent Barbara Starr.
An Iranian cleric issuing pretty feisty rhetoric, saying that Iran could take out U.S. forces. This is what the U.S. does not want to see. They want to see a de-escalation of the rhetoric, a de-escalation of this threat from Iran, which U.S. officials say is both against U.S. maritime forces on the sea, of course, and land forces.
A state report finds the safety doors in a Sumatran tiger's enclosure at a Kansas zoo last month were left unlocked before the animal attacked and injured a veteran zookeeper. The report said the Topeka Zoo is now requiring two employees check those doors. I'm Barton Eckert.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare contracts, and in the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sound crazy? The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare contract, you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit, 800-523-3030. That's 800-523-3030. 800-523-3030.
Mother's Day spending is expected to hit a new record this year.
Consumers are projected to spend an all-time high of $25 billion on Mother's Day. 84% of Americans plan to honor their mothers and other women in their lives, shelling out an average of just under $200 on greeting cards, flowers, a special outing, and other goodies for mom. According to the National Retail Federation, Mother's Day spending has been growing in recent years, and many of those surveyed say finding a unique gift is a priority. I'm Ann Cates.
Cuba announced new rationing of food and basic cleaning and hygiene products as the communist-run island grapples with increased U.S. sanctions and the economic crisis affecting the close ally, Venezuela. Cubans will face regulations on the purchase of chicken, eggs, sausages, cleaning and hygiene products, the state-run website reported Friday. For weeks, Cubans have complained of empty store shelves. I'm Barton Eckert.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino, and believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-890-6688. That's 800-890-6688. 800-890-6688. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Starting in Virginia on 95 as you make your way southbound, right around the Prince William Parkway, accident still takes away your left lane. It had your left and center lane closed. Now it's just your left lane, so expect delays as you make your way southbound on 95 right around the Prince William Parkway. Getting through the Springfield Interchange on 95 northbound, no problems. When you get on 395 northbound, heads up right around Shirlington, the Quaker Lane exit. That accident sits over on the right shoulder. It was sitting in your lanes for a while, so you may see some delays. On the GW Parkway northbound, keep in mind your northbound lanes are shut down from George Bush Center for Intelligence to the Beltway because of a sinkhole.
Sundays on WMAL, starting at 5 a.m., it's VA Sunday Magazine. At 5:30, hear the Chris McKay Show. At 6, it's Purity Products. And at 6:30, Chris McKay returns. At 7, it's Heroes Talk Radio with David Ahrens. At 8, it's the Eric Stewart Show, pointing you home. And at 8:30, it's Senior Solutions. Hear the Wise Investor Show at 9, the Del Walmsley Show at 10, the Underwriter's Corner at 11, Dr. Tom Rozelle Live at noon, Right on Retirement at 1, Mortgage Radio at 3, and Real Estate Today at 7 on WMAL.
Do you speak Social Security? Not many of us do, but the people at the Social Security office are going to be throwing a lot of new terms at you when you show up to claim your benefits. Terms like deferring, suspending, and recalculating, just to name a few. Confused? Don't be, because Abe Abish of Abish Financial Services does speak Social Security, and he's happy to translate. Abe and his wife Shelley are inviting you to a complimentary dinner at one of the area's best fine dining restaurants, where he'll explain the things you need to know to not only make claiming your benefits easier, but also how to maximize those benefits. And you'll learn some things that can potentially increase the amount of your monthly benefits. But reservations are a must. For details and available dates, call 571-577-9968. That's 571-577-9968. Or online at retirementkeyradio.com.
Abish Financial is not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency. By contacting us, you may be provided with information about insurance products, including annuities, offered through Abraham Abish. Virginia Insurance, number 557-877.
The lowest fee in real estate is coming soon to Washington, D.C. There's no longer any reason to pay 6% to sell your home. Introducing Rex. Rex sells homes for the lowest fee in the industry. 2% total, saving thousands of dollars per transaction. With Rex, you get a full-service team backed by technology. They don't market homes the way traditional agents do. Rex uses advanced digital marketing tactics to directly target hundreds of qualified buyers to your home the moment it goes on the market. And Rex charges only 2% total, not the 6% commission your local broker expects. Get started now by calling 833-REX-HOME. That's 833-REX-HOME. Since 2015, Rex has saved homeowners millions of dollars in fees across California, Texas, New York, and Colorado. Now it's your time, Washington, D.C., to sign on for a simplified and cost-savings approach to buying or selling a home. To get started, call now at 833-REX-HOME. That's 833-REX-HOME. Rex Real Estate Exchange Incorporated.
Now, the Saturday morning update. 105.9 FM. At AM 630.
Good morning. It is the Saturday morning update and a happy Mother's Day weekend. I'm Rick Fowler, Jeff Wolf behind the console, Jane Houghton and our producer this morning. Obviously, plenty to cover from the China-U.S. trade talks to Rudy Giuliani's trip to Ukraine to subpoenas. My goodness, subpoenas. Get them in a volume discount these days on Capitol Hill. More of them coming out. Wow. Intense political animosity up on Capitol Hill. We're going to get into the story this morning. And obviously, we have our panel of experts to go through it with us. Talking with K.T. McFarland later on this morning. We'll be talking with John Gizzi. Also, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, Cheryl Atkinson will join us, Jennifer Harper from the Washington Times. So we got you covered here on the Saturday morning update. And since it is an update, maybe we'll start with a story that was breaking yesterday that got the Democrats all upset. They're all upset about everything these days. They had denounced a plan by Rudy Giuliani to go to Ukraine to get an update on investigations. The way they're spinning the story, the way the Associated Press reports it, is that Rudy Giuliani is going to Ukraine to push Ukraine to open investigations. Well, the investigations are already open, so there's a little bit of a discrepancy in the way the spin is going on this story. And is really on two fronts, and one of them involves Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, who received payments from a Russian company in the millions, and there was an investigation by a prosecutor in Ukraine at the time, and Joe Biden was there, and coincidentally got that prosecutor sacked that was investigating that case and that oligarch and the relationship with Hunter Biden. And we've got a clip of Joe Biden, and this is what Biden said at the time, explaining while he was there how he held back payments unless he could get the prosecutor sacked.
Now look, I said, leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, son of a got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
Okay, the way Biden describes it, someone who was solid at the time. The guy that he got sacked happened to be the guy that was looking into the deal with his son. Whatever. Rudy Giuliani was on with Shannon Bream last night on Fox News. We'll let Rudy explain it, because it's a very interesting story, and everybody was in a tizzy yesterday because Rudy was going to go to Ukraine to pursue this, but he said late last night that he will not go to Ukraine because of concerns about who he would be dealing with there. He thought he might be getting set up. Democrats accusing him of working with a foreign power to influence the election. It was an interesting Friday night. If you happened to go to bed earlier, maybe did something different for a change instead of stayed glued to the news. But here's what you missed. Here's Rudy.
That's all a matter of record in the Ukrainian investigation that they are trying to have quashed now for the second time. Joe Biden succeeded in doing that in 2016. It was reopened 2.5 months ago. And they're trying to quash it again. At the time that Joe Biden did it, his son was under investigation for getting something like $3 to $10 million from a crooked Ukrainian oligarch who was hiding in Russia. And he got it while Joe Biden was the vice president of the United States and was in charge of relations with the Ukraine. And in that tape that you saw, Joe Biden had the prosecutor general dismissed. And then the case against his son was dropped.
Let me ask you about this, because there are questions.
Wait. That stinks. The facts are stubborn. And eventually, this is going to have to be investigated.
And Rudy continued. He was on a tear last night. Shannon couldn't get him off.
I am actually quite confident that the facts with regard to Vice President, former Vice President Biden, are so compelling that there's no way he gets from here to the election without this being investigated.
Okay.
And off getting investigated now, where it really isn't going to affect the election. It's 17 months away. Then waiting until next year. Your son doesn't pull millions of dollars out of a crooked country that you're overseeing. You get the prosecutor dismissed. His case gets dismissed. And then the same or a similar thing happened in China with even more money being taken down by the Bidens.
All
that doesn't happen without an investigation, unless we live in a country that's so dominated by Democrats that we have two different sets of rules.
Well, there's a lot of investigations happening everywhere.
Tell me if this wouldn't be major news if it were the Trumps. If this was Donald Trump and Donald Trump Jr. with the same allegations, do you think they would be putting the focus on me or on them?
All right.
Well, that was Rudy Giuliani last night, 11 o'clock, on the Fox News channel. So we'll see where that story goes, but he's not giving up on it, and it'll be very interesting to see how that plays out. It is 6:14. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Time for a check of the traffic and weather, and Christine Eads is in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
Heads up as you make your way through Woodbridge on 95 southbound, right at the Prince William Parkway. That accident sits in the left lane, so you're going to have delays as you approach the accident scene on the Prince William Parkway on 95 southbound. Northbound 95 looks good all the way through the Springfield Interchange and on up to 395. Once you're on 395 northbound at the Shirlington Quaker Lane exit, that accident sits over on the right shoulder. Expect some minor delays as you make your way past the accident scene, but then you look good from there up to cross the 14th Street Bridge. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, your WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
We have a chance of afternoon showers today with a high of 66. Rain for Mother's Day, high 56. Thunderstorms on Monday, high of 60. Mostly cloudy Tuesday, high 60. And Wednesday looks cloudy, high of about 68. 61 now in Washington, heading to 66. 6:15, Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday morning update, and the media and the Democratic Party got in a tizzy when President Trump spoke to Vladimir Putin and didn't bring up election meddling. And if you take a look at this, you know, you kind of get outside the forest and you know, look at the trees from a distance, it adds up, in my opinion, to a good cop, bad cop situation. So as an example, Trump gets Putin on the phone and is trying to buddy-buddy with him, doesn't bring up election meddling, but Mike Pompeo is headed to Russia to meet with Putin. Good cop, bad cop. Trump's trying to forge a personal relationship. My sense is Pompeo is going to go in there, as Pompeo typically goes in, and he's the bad cop. Another example, North Korea. President Trump is courting Kim Jong-un, trying to build his trust. Mike Pompeo is such a bad cop that North Korea wants him kicked out of the negotiations. So it's not as though this administration is a pushover. President tightening the screws on Iran this week, didn't cave on the China trade talks. So this whole idea that Trump's an agent of foreign powers, let's try that one again. All right, so the Democrats are on a tear on investigations, subpoenas, contempt. Nancy Pelosi, and this is kind of interesting because the contempt that they're going to find against Attorney General Bill Barr, unbelievable, but we'll get to that in a minute. But this is Nancy Pelosi on the investigations in general. And then we're going to take you back a few years with Nancy Pelosi when Eric Holder was held in contempt of Congress. Here's Nancy.
Yes, I do agree with Chairman Nadler because the administration has decided that they are not going to honor their oath of office. I'm very proud of the Judiciary Committee and the work that they have done. In terms of timing, when we're ready, we'll come to the floor. Okay. And we'll just see, because there may be some other contempt of Congress issues that we might want to deal with at the same time.
Okay, so they're going crazy. However, let's go back to when Eric Holder was found in contempt of Congress when the Republicans were in power. This is what Nancy Pelosi had to say about that.
Contempt of Congress, it's not only to monopolize his time, it's to undermine his name.
It's to undermine his name. Gee, that sounds familiar. Is that maybe the Democratic strategy these days against William Barr? Elijah Cummings at the time. You'll love the use of the term witch hunt here. This is Elijah Cummings commenting at the time on Eric Holder being held in contempt of Congress.
Some of my colleagues on the other side seem almost giddy about today's vote. After turning this investigation into an election year witch hunt.
Witch hunt. Where have I heard that before? Wow. This stuff's amazing. So, Bill Barr, you know, they're headed toward this contempt. And I think, you know, he's shaking in his boots. You can tell that the Attorney General is shaking in his boots because this is what he had to say Thursday night at a speaking engagement. This is the Attorney General.
You like records. This must be a record of Attorney General being proposed for contempt within 100 days of taking office.
Great, great joke from the Attorney General about the joke of the investigations and the contempt charge that they're going to try and slap on him. Unbelievable. Other things that are unbelievable in the way the folks on the Hill are approaching this. Here's Adam Schiff, our buddy Adam Schiff, that poster child for investigations. Here's what he had to say about Don Jr. if he violates and does not respond to the subpoena.
They're violating the statute. We can enforce it in court, but that takes time. Used to be we imprisoned people, but we could also fine them $25,000 a day until they comply or some other number. That may be an even swifter remedy if we need to embark on it, and we may have to.
So that's Adam Schiff. What a guy he is. Richard Blumenthal took it a step further. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure which is worse. Which is worse, $25,000 a day fine from Adam Schiff or Richard Blumenthal, the Democratic senator from Connecticut, sending you off to jail? Here's Blumenthal.
If he fails to answer, he ought to be put in jail. If he fails to comply with a lawful subpoena, he has no privilege. Prison is the only answer.
All right. That's Richard Blumenthal. I take you to the Hartford Courant, which is a Connecticut newspaper, well-respected newspaper. You may recall that Senator Blumenthal lied about serving in Vietnam. President Trump brought that up recently. So the question posed to the Hartford Courant, is it true that Senator Richard Blumenthal lied about serving in Vietnam when he was running for the Senate? Is it true? The Hartford Courant says, on repeated occasions, Blumenthal said he served in Vietnam when, in fact, his military service was confined to the United States. In 2010, he was in the midst of a bitter U.S. Senate race against former wrestling company executive Linda McMahon. On May 17th, the New York Times published a bombshell report. Richard Blumenthal's words on Vietnam service differ from history. So he's going to throw Don Jr. in jail because of what? Don's recollection of a meeting at Trump Tower? He's going to throw Don Jr. in jail. And here's a guy that lies about serving in Vietnam because he's in a bitter Senate race. Senator Blumenthal. Also, a little note on Blumenthal. Blumenthal is one of the wealthiest senators on Capitol Hill. 2011 financial disclosure form showed the senator had an average net worth of $112 million. 2011. So how did he earn that money? He married up. His wife's family, real estate, New York, involving the Empire State Building, all the money's on her side of the family, right? So I cruised over to roll call, found the 2015 tax return that Senator Blumenthal filed. It's kind of interesting. He filed separately. It's not a joint return with his wife, so there's no reference to the, what do you think the interest, what do you think his investment income is annually from $112 million? He files separately, right, and got a tax refund. Okay, you check it out. It's there, 2015 tax form, Senator Richard Blumenthal. And he wants to send Don Jr. to jail. 6:24, Saturday Morning Update.
Diana got some really bad news from the IRS.
They said you owe quite a bit of money.
She didn't have that kind of money.
I was in a state of despair.
And when she called, all she got were threats.
Garnishing my wages, taking my house, taking my car. I didn't know if I was going to make it.
Thankfully, Diana found out about Optima Tax Relief, the leading tax resolution firm. A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, they've resolved over $500 million for their clients. Optima went right to work for Diana.
Optima Tax negotiated everything. I did not have to worry. They talked to the IRS.
Needless to say, she was relieved.
Optima Tax saved my life.
Do what Deanna did. Call Optima now for a free consultation. Call 800-908-1755. That's 800-908-1755. 800-908-1755.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
The Big Screen Store. Now's the time for amazing deals. Like two Samsung 4K TVs, a 75-inch and a 65-inch. Whoa, both for just $15.99. Only at the Big Screen Store. At the Big Screen Store, our prices beat Best Buy and online guaranteed. Plus, we double the Samsung warranty, and you get delivery and installation installed by pros on your schedule. Not even Amazon can do that. The Big Screen Store. The Big Screen Store is your motion furniture headquarters with innovative furniture featuring power headrests, full power recline, USB ports, lighting and accessories, power lumbar support, plus an incredible selection. The Big Screen Store. The Big Screen Store. Now's the time for amazing deals. Like two Samsung 4K TVs, a 75-inch and a 65-inch. Whoa, both for just $15.99. Only at the Big Screen Store.
Join the Home Educators of America on May 30th and 31st for 2 days of inspiring speakers and vendors in Tyson's Corner to explore locally available private school and homeschooling options. While your children are playing in the kids program, you'll shop, sip coffee, meet new friends, paint in one of our workshops, and drink in the wisdom of great speakers. You'll feel refreshed, adored, and ready to start the best education for your child. Get your tickets today at homeeducatorsofamerica.com.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare contracts, and in the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sound crazy? The crazy thing is, this never ends. Even when you die, your family's now going to be stuck with this burden. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare contract, you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit, 800-523-3030. That's 800-523-3030. 800-523-3030.
It is a Saturday morning update at 6:27. Let's lighten it up a little bit. It is Mother's Day weekend, and we have Mother's Day messages from the President and the First Lady.
As a mother myself, I can relate to all that it takes to raise a child. Motherhood is a blessing in its rawest form. It is joyous and delightful, and at times it is challenging and worrisome. But the love between a mother and child strengthens us, helps us grow, and provides a deeper meaning to all of our lives.
I had a great mother, Mary. I love my mother. I miss my mother. Military moms are the backbone of America. I know it is still 2 days away, but I wish everybody right now a very happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day, everybody.
And it is Mother's Day weekend, and obviously all the moms, we wish a very, very happy Mother's Day, too, this morning. It is 6:28. It is a Saturday morning update on WMAL, and as we mentioned, we have got so much to cover. Cheryl Atkinson's got a very interesting story. It's a tease here. You may know this story, but if you don't, it's an interesting tease, and that is, you remember the Jonestown Massacre, something like 41 years ago? Well, one person that survived there is now a member of Congress. Surprised Jeff over there, didn't we? I didn't know that either until I spoke with Cheryl. And we're going to talk about when she's on later on this morning. And also, we're going to talk about a very interesting story out of CNN. Democrats in the House of Representatives are pushing their members to be more forceful and have a dominant presence where? Fox News Channel. They were scheduled to have a training session in the Capitol yesterday on how to prepare for Fox News appearances. Interesting strategy. And we're 17 months away from the election? Are you kidding me? Wow. All right, we'll check the news next, and then Jennifer Harper will join us on the Saturday morning update. Coming up, KT McFarland will also talk with John Gizzi, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and Cheryl Atkinson.
Why am I going on this trip? You have to promise to keep it a secret. I'm going to surprise my mom for Mother's Day. Usually I send her flowers and we video chat for a while, but it's just not the same. She visits my family here all the time, and I just don't get out to see her enough. I can't wait to see the look on her face.
Dulles flies nonstop to more than 135 destinations. Who will you go surprise? Start planning your visit at flydulles.com/nonstop.
It's 6:30. This is the Saturday morning update on WMAL, and looking at some of the headlines around the world this morning. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer says his office is preparing to impose tariffs on the $300 billion in Chinese products that aren't already facing import taxes, another escalation in the dispute with Beijing. Just after midnight Friday, the U.S. raised tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese imports to 25% from 10%. An 11th round of U.S.-China talks ended without an agreement. That tax hike, bringing to $250 billion the value of Chinese imports that face 25% tariffs, about $300 billion in Chinese imports have not yet been hit in a year-long dispute over China's push to challenge American technological dominance, allegedly by stealing technology and forcing U.S. companies to hand over trade secrets. Lighthizer's office will have to get public comment before it can go ahead and actually impose the new tariffs, but they have announced those tariffs as of midnight last night. Federal judge has struck down a Kentucky abortion law aimed at banning a common second trimester procedure to end pregnancies. U.S. District Judge Joseph McKinley ruling yesterday the law would create a substantial obstacle to a woman's right to an abortion, violating constitutionally protected privacy rights. Kentucky's only abortion clinic challenged that 2018 law when it was signed by the state's anti-abortion governor. That's Republican Matt Bevin. Beto O'Rourke, barreling into the 2020 presidential race with his breakneck energy and a fly-by-the-seat-of-his-pants campaign style, but the former Texas congressman has seen his once-rising poll numbers sag. He's focused on crisscrossing the country rather than making national TV appearances and prioritized in-person contact with voters over issuing detailed policy positions. They say the buzz is fading. One advisor says O'Rourke has entered an intentional quiet period lately, concentrating on building out his campaign infrastructure. Soon, though, he will increase national media appearances and issue detailed plans on a number of top issues. And that from the Beto O'Rourke camp. The Cuban government says it will begin rationing chicken, eggs, rice, beans, soap, and other basic products in the face of a grave economic crisis. The Commerce Minister, Betsy Diaz-Velasquez, told the state-run Cuban news agency Friday that various forms of rationing would be employed in order to deal with the shortage of staple foods. She blamed the hardening of the U.S. trade embargo by the Trump administration. Economists give equal or greater blame to a plunge in aid from Venezuela. Food stores in Cuba are government-run. They sell products ranging from highly subsidized to wildly overpriced by global standards. She said chicken will now be sold in limited quantities, as well as low-priced soap, eggs, rice, beans, lentils, and sausages. High-priced goods appear to be unaffected, with the exception of chicken. And a top House Democrat has issued subpoenas for 6 years of President Trump's tax returns, giving Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin and IRS Commissioner Charles Rettig a deadline of next Friday to deliver them. 6:34, time for a check of the traffic and weather. Christine Eads is in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Virginia, as you make your way on 95 southbound, heads up at the Prince William Parkway. Right now, your left lane, your center lane, and your right lane are closed, as well as accident activity on the shoulder. So you're going to be slow as you make your way southbound to get towards the Prince William Parkway because of this crash. Up on 395 northbound at Shirlington Quaker Lane exit, that accident has been cleared. All lanes are open and things are looking good in both directions on 395. Northbound and southbound between the 14th Street Bridge and the Springfield Interchange. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, your WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
We've got afternoon showers expected, high 66. Rain for Mother's Day, high only to 56. Thunderstorms on Monday, high 60. Clouds on Tuesday and Wednesday, highs in the 60s. 61 right now, heading to 66. 6:35 Saturday morning update.
So the pools and the beaches are going to open in a month. Is your body bathing suit ready? Fortunately, mine is, thanks completely to EMP Winity Weight Loss. Hey, it's Larry O'Connor. Now, not long ago, I looked in the mirror and I looked flabby and not all that healthy. But EMP Winity changed all that. I lost almost 6 pounds the first week and I'm now down 40 pounds in total. Just like me, you too can lose weight. Keep it off. Look amazing. And feel 10 years younger. Why? Because EMP Winity is your guided roadmap to weight loss, renewed health, more energy, toned muscles, and that feeling of, oh yeah, when everyone says, wow, you look awesome. EMP 180 isn't a diet, it's a food behavior lifestyle change. With EMP 180, it's so easy to learn to eat well, eat smart, and banish those crazy cravings for wasted calories. For a limited time only, the first consultations are absolutely free and financing is available. Best of all, they have locations all around the D.C. area, so there's sure to be an EMP 180 weight loss center near you. Check them out. Call 855-888-0180. Visit emp180.com or Google EMP 180.
Hi, it's Vince. Take it from me. There is nothing like getting a new kitchen or bath in your home. It'll make you proud of the place you live. But when you're gonna invite somebody into your sanctuary, you need somebody you can trust. That's why I trust the good folks at Remodel USA. I met the owner, John. I learned about their kitchen and bathroom remodeling process and how it has brought so much joy to over 12,000 homeowners. Family-owned and operated, the Remodel USA team is the best choice for that remodeling project that you've been putting off. Imagine entertaining in your new kitchen or enjoying your new spa-like bathroom in just a few weeks. Call 800-NEW-REMODEL now to get 60% off the installation of your new kitchen or bath, plus $2,500 off just for being a WMAL listener. Call 800-NEW-REMODEL or visit 800newremodel.com. for 60% off installation of your new kitchen or bath, plus another $2,500 off. 800-NEW-REMODEL or 800newremodel.com.
Saturday morning update for Mother's Day weekend, and a happy Mother's Day to Jennifer Harper. She writes inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you.
You bet. Plenty to talk about on the political front this week, and it's interesting to see Biden has widened his margin on Bernie Sanders, and you've looked into that this week.
Yes, indeed. I mean, I guess a lot of people would simply cite Biden's instant name recognition in all of these polls. I mean, they're just multiple polls that find him 20 percentage points ahead, et cetera, et cetera, and where once Senator Sanders was the name of the moment, now it's Joe Biden. And of course, there is an interesting analysis as to another factor as to why Joe Biden is ruling the popularity polls. And gosh, Rick, it involves the news media. Surprise, surprise. And this research is coming from Rich Noyes. He's an analyst for the Media Research Center. This is what he has to say. Despite the presence of more than 20 announced candidates, Biden was rewarded with by far the lion's share of coverage. He got 77% of the candidate airtime on ABC, CBS, and NBC. Now imagine, Mr. Noyes and his colleagues up there went through all of the evening newscasts on ABC, CBS, and NBC during the entire month of April. So they watched a lot of it. They discovered that of that amount that they watched, Joe Biden got 77% of that airtime. They say that Senator Bernie Sanders and also Mayor Pete each got less than 5 minutes of airtime during the entire month of April. Think about that. Senator Elizabeth Warren got 3 minutes, and this is the telling thing. No other candidate received even 1 minute of evening news airtime in April. Again, this is coming from the Media Research Center, a very smart analysis here. And Mr. Noyes goes on to tell us this. The evening news did another favor for Biden. The scandal involving his unwanted touching of several women, which dominated campaign news in early April, was largely ignored in the coverage of his announcement that he was going to run from March 30th through April 5th. The network spent more than 26 minutes on the scandal, but in the coverage of Biden's campaign rollout between April 23rd and April 30th, the scandal received 92 seconds of coverage. So there you go. That's an edge that Mr. Biden has at the moment, the Biden broadcast edge. That's why he's ahead, perhaps.
So nobody got their 15 minutes of fame against Joe Biden. A lot of people scratching their heads as to what's next with North Korea after the missile launches this week. The president seems to still be playing Mr. Nice Guy, and I think you have a little insight into that.
Yeah, this is sort of an interesting angle, and I had not heard this covered before, and certainly everyone's wondering about what's the next chapter here and what missiles mean and so forth and so on. But this is an example of diplomatic soft power at work. And this report came from Yonhap. This is a Seoul-based news agency, a major news agency. And this is what they have to say. President Trump has expressed support for South Korea's possible humanitarian food assistance for North Korea. And he was on a phone conversation with South Korean President Moon Jae-in this week, again, according to Yonhap. They say during the 35-minute conversation, Moon briefed Trump on his government's position on North Korea's launch of short-range projectiles over the weekend, and they discussed ways to keep Pyongyang on the dialogue track despite the weaponry display. They say the two leaders exchanged views as well on a joint report by the World Food Program that 10 million people in the impoverished communist nation, 40% of the population, are in urgent need of food. President Trump assessed that South Korea's provision of food to North Korea is a humanitarian move which will be timely and a positive step, and he supports it. And they also note that this is the 21st round of phone talks between the two leaders. So it's just kind of an example of President Trump's constant efforts in a lot of different realms here. And I thought this was interesting that he would definitely back helping them out there with the food. And, I mean, certainly that's a diplomatic move, but it also plays well in the media.
Seems as though everybody on cable news channels now has a book to promote. I think we give Mark Levin a pass because he's been an author well before he went on to a cable news channel. But he's got a new book out, and also Senator Tom Cotton. Tell us about him.
Well, certainly, Rick, Mark Levin is just a prolific author, but he does have a very significant book coming out very soon. It's called Unfreedom of the Press. And he is taking the case against a biased liberal media a step farther here, Rick, and he has charted the destructive path of our journalists. And he says this is what the publisher has to say, and the publisher is Threshold Edition. This is the conservative imprint of none other than Simon & Schuster. They said this is not just another book about the press. Levin shows how those entrusted with news reporting today are destroying freedom of the press from within, not by government oppression or suppression, but through self-censorship, groupthink, bias by omission, and passing off opinion, propaganda, pseudo-events, and outright lies as the news. And, you know, Mr. Levin is quite the historian. He's got a lot of institutional knowledge there, and he writes in that manner, and this is what he wrote. He said, it bears remembering that the purpose of a free press, like the purpose of free speech, is to nurture the mind, communicate ideas, challenge ideologies, share notions, inspire creativity, advocate, and enforce America's founding principle, that is, to contribute to a vigorous, productive, healthy, and happy individual and a well-functioning civil society and republic. It's that kind of a book. He really knows what he's talking about, and he actually goes historic on us, Rick, and talks about the American Patriots Press, which took a great deal of pride in those early years of setting forth all the founding documents and so forth and so on. And if you're curious about this book, because it's already considered a bestseller on Amazon, it reaches the shelves on May 21st, and Threshold Editions, by the way, also includes President Trump, Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, Laura Ingraham, and Tom Fitton on its list of authors. And you also mentioned Senator Tom Cotton, and he certainly had some interesting commentary this week, but he also has a new book coming out, and his book is called Sacred Duty, A Soldier's Tour of Arlington National Cemetery. That's coming out on Tuesday. And you have to remember, the author has some very firsthand experience here. That's why it's a significant book. Mr. Cotton served in Iraq with the 101st Airborne. And in Afghanistan, he was with a provincial reconstruction team. And between those two combat tours, he also served with the Old Guard at Arlington National Cemetery. He was a platoon leader with them. This is the storied 3rd U.S. Infantry Regiment. And they maintain that 24-hour vigil at the Tomb of the Unknowns. They also serve as an escort to the president, and they provide security for Washington in times of national emergency or civil disturbance. Hmm. And, you know, Mr. Cotton was there, definitely. And, again, his book is called Sacred Duty, A Soldier's Tour of Arlington National Cemetery. That's by publisher William Morris, and that's coming out Tuesday.
Yep, it's Mother's Day weekend, and holiday weekends bring in big bucks. A lot of people spend a lot of money. What are the numbers showing this year for Mother's Day?
Well, you know, we definitely have a mom economy bump going on here, which is great, you know. This is according to our friends at the National Retail Federation, and they report that close to 90%, well, around 86% actually, of Americans are celebrating Mother's Day tomorrow. But they have some very good news about the economic impact of Mother's Day. So here we go. Mother's Day spending is expected to total a record $25 billion this year. This is up from $23.1 billion in 2018. Again, this is coming from the National Retail Federation. And what are they spending their money on? That includes $5.2 billion on jewelry, $2.6 billion on flowers, and $2.3 billion on clothes and all of, you know, cars, everything else, candy, a night out, et cetera. That all goes to contribute to that. And according to Matthew Shea, he is the president and the CEO of this very helpful organization, he says Mother's Day spending has been growing consistently over the past several years, and this year's spending is expected to be the highest in the 16-year history of our survey. While the number of people celebrating Mother's Day is in line with last year's, those celebrating are expected to spend more of an average of $196, how much they're going to spend on their moms, compared with $180 last year. So that's your mom economy. And, again, happy Mother's Day to everybody out there.
Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway, Washington Times. Thank you very, very much, and have a lovely Mother's Day.
Thank you. Same to you. Well, listeners, Rick, thanks.
6:47, Saturday morning update, WMAL. And coming up next, we're going to talk with Scott Galloway, author of The Four, and a little segment on happiness. Again, we're going to lighten it up a little bit for Mother's Day weekend. But first, we've got a check of the traffic and weather. Christine Eads is in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Starting in Virginia on 95 southbound, between Lorton and Route 1 in Woodbridge, all southbound lanes are shut down right now as they move the accident activity off to the side of the roadway. So all your lanes are closed. Expect heavy delays on 95 southbound as you make your way through Lorton. On the GW Parkway, your northbound lanes remain closed from George Bush Center for Intelligence to the Beltway because of that large sinkhole. Southbound lanes are open, but northbound you're going to have to make alternate arrangements. And your westbound lanes on 214 Central Avenue have been reopened, but eastbound lanes remain closed because of an early morning crash. And now investigation from Hampton Park to the Beltway. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, your WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Showers today, high 66. Rain for Sunday with a high of 56. Thunderstorms Monday, high 60. Will be in the 60s and cloudy on Monday and Tuesday. 61 right now, going up to 66 this afternoon. 6:48 Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Thank you for being with us on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler, and we all seek happiness in life and would like to know the meaning of life. But the big question is, how do we achieve it? For the answer, we're joined by Scott Galloway, New York Times best-selling author of The Four. Scott has a new book coming out this coming Tuesday, May 14th. It's entitled The Algebra of Happiness, Notes on the Pursuit of Success, Love, and Meaning. And Scott, it is great to have you with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I think what's interesting is you're an author, obviously, but you're also a professor at New York University's Stern School of Business. And a lot of what you do in that MBA class with your students reflects, I think, in your philosophies and some of the recommendations that you have.
Yeah, I'd like to think so. This book is based on the last session, which is titled The Algebra of Happiness, where I attempt to take a series of personal observations and couple it with a decent amount of research on the topic of happiness and distill it down to a number of equations and then go through those equations. Because a lot of the kids think they're coming to business school to try and gain the expertise to develop economic security, but I think what most of them come to realize is that they're there to try and develop one piece of the puzzle to live a life of satisfaction and build a narrative of reward.
Many people have a tendency to think that financial success and achievement will bring happiness in life. How do you see the balance of financial success versus a life well-lived and meaningful?
Yeah, it's not easy because we do live in a capitalist society and money is important. And I think it's important that kids are focused on economic security. I think it's, you know, you're going to have better health care, better selection set of mates, more opportunity, be able to provide for your children. So I think there's just no getting around it. There is a correlation, by the way, between money and happiness. That's the bad news. The good news is that it tops out. Once you have housing, health care, can absorb an economic shock, you're not going to get any happier. So I think that's kind of the point where, or hopefully before then, you start to think about, well, okay, money might be the ink in my pen. It might make certain chapters burn brighter. It might allow me to write certain chapters I couldn't otherwise write without that ink. But it's not my story. You need to have other things in your life that bring you joy in a sense of kind of what I'll call, eternal, make you infinite. What is it about your life that you want to achieve? What is it you want written on your tombstone? What creates satisfaction? Happiness isn't a sensation. You can get it from Chipotle or Netflix, but what I'm trying to get to with the kids is what are the investments and actions you can take such that even if the pendulum swings high and swings low, the plane it swings on is a little bit higher as you get older.
How do you make sure that your partner's contribution to a relationship and an approach to a relationship and approach to expectations of life, how do you make sure they fit and also in terms of the financial aspect of it?
Well, that's really a tough one. So one of the things I go through is I ask the kids, what is the most important decision they'll make? And the majority, because we're in business school, say it has something to do with their career, picking the right industry or picking the right place to live. The reality is, as it relates to happiness, the most important decision you can make is who you decide to partner with in your life, and that is who you decide to mate with and have children with. And then it becomes, well, what are the kind of the key critical success factors or inputs that increase the likelihood of a successful partnership, if you will? And it distills typically down to three things. The first is attraction and sex. Those things say that your relationship is singular. The second is values, things like how close will you live to your parents, religion, how many kids you want. And then the third thing, which people don't talk about much, especially young people, which is actually the number one source of marital agita and divorce, is your relationship with money. What are each partner's expectations around their economic weight class? Who is responsible for bringing in the money? What is their approach to spending it? And I think young people, as you would imagine, are mostly focused on the first and spend very little time talking about values and almost no time spent talking about money. But the number one source of kind of take young people in their 20s and 30s off the tracks economically, which is important to happiness, is divorce. So investing the time in understanding what makes a successful partnership and then hopefully making a great decision around the right partner will ease the downside and make the upside burn brighter. But it is your most important decision, and I find young people don't really spend a lot of time thinking about what makes a great partner.
Often these days when young people get advice, and this is the time of the season when students are going to graduations and that commencement speech at the graduation is often for the young person to follow their passion. How do you translate that into reality?
Sure. So it's the most common piece of advice you'll hear at a commencement or at Stern. We have people show up every day and they always end their speech with follow your passion. And I find that that is not only terrible advice, it's dangerous advice to give to young people because generally speaking, it's not sincere. The individual usually telling you to follow your passion is already rich, and he or she made their billions in iron ore smelting. And what I tell people is that your objective as a young person isn't to find your passion. I thought I was going to make my living in athletics, and I was fortunate enough to find out pretty quickly at UCLA that I wasn't great compared to the rest of the world in sports. And so I found something I was good at, and that's business. And once you find you're good at something, You may need to make the requisite investment in time, energy, grit, perseverance to become great at it. And then the accoutrements of being great at something, economic security, prestige, relevance, a sense of self-worth, will make you passionate about whatever it is. So follow your passion, dangerous, because if you get, when young people believe that, when they start to hit roadblocks and find that work is hard, they start believing, well, this must not be right for me because it's hard, which means it's not my passion. No, that has nothing to do with it. Nothing great is achieved without real frustration and overcoming obstacles. So your job, or a young person's job, is to find what they're good at. Ignore this notion of finding your passion. Become good at something and then develop the resources and capabilities to follow your passions in your spare time.
Social media has generated communication, but it has also generated controversy. What would your thoughts be on social media and its impact on really shaping the lives of young people and their goals?
Well, I think social media, hands down, is a net negative for people under the age of 18. And a lot of us find ourselves letting our kids on social media and on their phones only because there's peer pressure and we don't want them to be ostracized. So I think the academic community in primary school has to take a leadership role and ban these, not only these devices, but social media platforms for children. Because what we're finding is that while boys bully physically and verbally, young girls bully relationally, and we have put the equivalent of nuclear weapons in their hands with social media. There's not only the fear of missing out, FOMO, but when you're not invited to a party as a 16-year-old girl or a 16-year-old boy, you see it play out in real time. The number of kids who see their friends every day has been cut in half the last 10 years, and while they're physically safer than they've ever been, they're more emotionally fragile. I believe that a combination of sort of this bulldozer and concierge parenting, as described really brilliantly by the book The Coddling of the American Mind, authored by my colleague Jonathan Haidt, in concert with these kind of this concierge thing where we clear out all the obstacles and use so many sanitary wipes on our kids' lives that they don't develop immunities. Then you couple that with social media, which just kind of makes you feel like you're a loser if you're not partying in St. Bart's or a world-class athlete or doing just amazing things everywhere. I think it's resulting in an emerging mental health crisis among our teens. So I don't think these firms have any incentive to fix it. I think they have an incentive to do whatever creates more engagement, which oftentimes is enragement and making other people feel bad about themselves. So I think it's a real issue for us and something that needs to be addressed.
What is the one secret? What is the one thing that you would say to young people in the pursuit of happiness?
Well, as you might imagine, there isn't one silver bullet, but there is what I call a best practice. And if you look at the largest study on happiness done to date, it's the Harvard Grant Study that tracked 400 young men over 80 years from 1929, from the age of 19 to the last one died at 99. And, you know, as you can tell, in 1921, it's sort of indicative of the age that they decided to track 400 men, not 400 women. But anyways, what they found after querying them on everything from the types of food, work they engaged in, and then surveying them every week on how happy they were, and they tried to compile this data set. They had to go through four principal scientists because the scientists kept dying over 80 years, but they compiled the largest data set on happiness ever assembled, and they found one very basic conclusion, and that is happiness is largely a function of the depth and the number of relationships you have. At work, do you feel respected and admired? And just as importantly, do you respect and admire other people? Among your friends, you get a sense of joy and camaraderie, and do they sense joy and camaraderie from you? And finally, at home, do you feel intense levels of love and support? And again, just as importantly, do you know that they feel a sense of love and support from you? And the greatest opening line of any academic study ever written summarized a 400-page report with the following sentence: happiness is love, full stop.
You have a YouTube video that is entitled The Algebra of Happiness. It has nearly 2 million hits. And would that be a good place to just get a sample of what you're laying out in the book?
Yeah, it's a great place to get sort of the cliff notes. Also, algebraofhappiness.com or profgalloway.com.
Professor Scott Galloway, The Algebra of Happiness, Notes on the Pursuit of Success, Love, and Meaning, comes out this coming Tuesday, May 14th. And Scott, thank you very much for sharing the wisdom that we'll see in the book.
Thank you.
7 o'clock news is coming up next on WMAL. Then John Gizzi joins us, Cheryl Atkinson, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and KT McFarland.
WMAL, first thing each morning.
Can you believe this news today?
Mary and Vince.
You just cannot make this stuff up, Vince.
Lisa Baden Traffic.
I have several accidents now.
Wake up.
It's hilarious.
With WMAL.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m.